This is LBC. Message Andrew Marr on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60 973.
6:49, and let's get a little bit more Donald Trump now, because it's sort of, I don't know, irresistible. First, he reposted an AI-generated video about his vision to turn Gaza into a glitzy, tasteless Mediterranean resort, complete with gold statues of, yes, Donald Trump, and cheesy backing music and the rest of it. Genuinely, this is the most bizarre real estate video the world has ever seen. Then, in the last hour, came Donald Trump's press conference after his first cabinet meeting. And to talk about both of those things, let's go to Simon Marks, LBC's long-suffering man in Washington. Simon, great to see you there. I'm sure you've seen this video like everybody else now has. It was an absolutely extraordinary thing to make, and then for Donald Trump to repost.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it plays into the whole cult of the personality that Donald Trump is building up around himself. Andrew, remember that last week, the White House account on social media platforms distributed a picture of Donald Trump dressed in a king's regalia. Today, we get to see him lounging on a sun chair alongside an image of Benjamin Netanyahu, enjoying what appears to be a resort called Trump Gaza. Gold statues of Donald Trump on display in the center of town, for sale in gift shops. Bikini-clad male dancers appear to be playing some kind of a role in this extraordinary video, all designed to demonstrate that he's really serious about building this Riviera in the Middle East that he has touted the new Gaza Strip will be.
But also sort of handcrafted, Simon, to be as offensive as possible to the people who originally lived there.
Oh, absolutely. No question about that. I mean, look, the entire proposal is as offensive as possible to the people who originally lived there, because he's talking about forcibly removing more than 2 million people from Gaza, inveighing the governments of Jordan and Egypt to agree to open their doors to them. Neither seems especially interested in that prospect. But certainly, absolutely, there was no indication at all in this video that this new Gaza Strip would be for any of the people who currently live in the Gaza Strip. And
you've gone through it also, imagine... You've gone through it also, Bibi Netanyahu can lie on a sun lounger surrounded by people bikinis. Yeah, great stuff. Now, tell us a little bit about the press conference after the cabinet meeting, Simon.
Well, just to be clear, Andrew, it wasn't a press conference after the cabinet meeting. It was the cabinet meeting. I mean, a cabinet meeting in the mind of Donald Trump is a made-for-TV event. We saw this during the first term. We're seeing it now even more so today. There's no sense in which they'd been sitting around the table deliberating before the cameras arrived. The cameras being there was everything. And so Donald Trump expounded on a number of different fronts. The only other person to make a meaningful contribution was his de facto Prime Minister Elon Musk, who of course is not a member of Donald Trump's cabinet, because to be a cabinet nominee, a cabinet appointee, you're accountable to Congress. You have to have gone through a confirmation process in the United States Senate, and Elon Musk didn't do that. Mr. Musk insisted that he's about to send another email out to those long-suffering civil servants here, federal government workers, hundreds of thousands of whom have already been fired. Donald Trump said that some of them were, as he put it, living on the bubble, by which he meant they were taking a bit of a risk in not responding to Elon Musk's demand last week for an email listing five things that they said they had accomplished. And he suggested there could be mass firings that will follow any avoidance of responses to a second email from Donald Trump. But more broadly, it's absolutely apparent that Donald Trump and Elon Musk are still joined at the hip and are planning massive layoffs across the federal government during March. Donald Trump is indicating today that one agency alone, the Environmental Protection Agency, is going to lose 65% of its staff going forward. He also, in that interaction with reporters, played very fast and loose with whether he is going to offer security guarantees to Ukraine as part of this minerals agreement that he says Volodymyr Zelensky is still coming to Washington to sign on Friday. Let's see if that really happens.
I think your scepticism is well placed. We've heard about lots of sort of town hall meetings around America protesting about some of the cuts in the size of the government. Michael Wolff was on the show earlier on suggesting that Elon Musk will only last 6 months. But I also saw a comment by Elon Musk today about Trump saying, "I love him as much as any straight man can love another man." So it's becoming a weird, kind of slightly camp bromance at the heart of the White House.
Yeah, well, they insisted on Fox News last week when they sat next to each other for an interview with Sean Hannity, that they were in love with each other. I'm not so sure that Michael Wolff is right about that 6 month mark. I mean, we never thought we would be seeing what we're seeing now. I mean, most people thought that a wedge would have been driven between Musk and Trump already. And the fact that this relationship is enduring and that Elon Musk was the first and really the only person that was called upon to speak at length while the press was in the room for that cabinet meeting, I think speaks volumes about the power, the untrammeled power that he now occupies within Donald Trump's inner circle. And remember, Andrew, that even today, we're now, more than 5 weeks into this presidency, Donald Trump still has not submitted a single bill to Congress to act on legislatively. In an hour's time, he's going to be signing more of those executive orders. For him, it looks like governing is not going to involve Congress at all.
It's a kind of American government we have literally never seen before. Simon Marks, thank you very much indeed.